We tried that last time and it didn't work, but. So we're going to call our SHAC meeting to order. Yes, sorry. That's okay. Come on in. We'll welcome you. Yeah, that's right. Just as a reminder, we are audio recording the meeting today. This is our last SHAC meeting of the school year.
Yay.
So we're happy that all of you could be here. And if I could, we're going to put it in the minutes.
I think it's the air.
Is it the air?
I was thinking that, I was like, oh, shh.
I think it's the air.
Yes.
At this time, we're going to have the minutes read of our last meeting.
The Hinkle ISD meeting was called to order at 1:32 by Cecily Hutchins. A welcome was given to all present and reminded that the meeting will be audio recorded. The previous meeting minutes were read by Tammy Zappas and approved by the SHAC. There were 16 present for the meeting composed of staff, parents, and community members. Old business, Cecily Bridges notes that marking and display boxes have been placed in the offices in the elementary, middle school, and high school, and that Coach Elliott and the nurse office have them. Also, instructions for administration are included on the wall beside them. New business, Cecily Bridges informed everyone that a stockable training for staff was done in the cafeteria on February 26th. Employees from the Sabine County Hospital came and presented a PowerPoint and reviewed skills. It was announced that we needed 3 volunteers to do an annual review of the bloodborne pathogen exposure control plan, severe allergy plan, and wellness plan. Cecily Bridges, Tammy Zappas, and Jeremy Wallace agreed to review the plan. Presentation was Chanel Savella, Sabine County Extension Agent, 4-H Coordinator and Master Gardener, and Donna and Jim Tyree, Master Gardeners, along with Lana Costella, middle and high school ag science teacher, gave a talk on educational nutrition and what they offer on the subject. Ms. Savella reviewed different areas of resources and programs of the Texas A&M AgriLife offered, such as Learn, Grow, Eat, Grow, which is curriculum on how to grow and prepare nutritious food. Donna and Jim Tyree discussed that they have given several talks in Mrs. McDaniel's high school classes regarding benefits of beekeeping, attracting birds to backyards, and tree planting and medicinal plants. Mrs. Priscilla announced that her program has received a grant for a butterfly garden and is interested in a farm-to-table program. She discussed a possible seed plant bucket garden to begin this spring and invited Donna, Jim, and Chanel to come into our learning department. They are interested in volunteering their services to help with her classes. Meeting was adjourned at 2:13 p.m.
Are there any corrections or additions for those minutes? Only one? We'll accept those minutes as read then. Old business for today would have a little discussion on the approval of the plans. Myself, Tammy Zappas, and Mr. Wallace reviewed those plans and have all signed to agree to the contents of the plans as written. There were really no changes made in those, and those will continue as they're written. If anybody would like to take a look at those, I can get you a copy of them. That's the bloodborne pathogen control plan, the wellness plan here at our school, and the food allergy, severe allergy, and anaphylaxis plan. Is there any other old business? Anything? I will say that when reviewing the wellness plan, I'll make a few points about that regarding nutrition. The district, it says in the plan that the district will ensure that any food and beverage advertisements marketed to students during the school day meet the Smart Snack standards. And that's something that's written in the policy that the SHAC will monitor from time to time. So we try to take a look at advertisement on food products at school, whether it be in the cafeteria, sporting events, even, you know, bulletin boards or in the hallways. You know, y'all can just take note of that if you see anything that is probably not what would be on our smart snack standards list that, you know, that can be brought to the attention, maybe get those signs changed out a little. So we are supposed to do that as the SHAC committee. On our wellness plan also, there are several goals regarding nutrition. There's one that says the district's food service staff, teachers, and other district personnel shall consistently promote health and nutrition messages in cafeterias, classrooms, and other corporate settings. So our objective for that is to educate students and staff on healthy nutrition. And our actions to do that is by displaying flyers, posters in the cafeteria, which I noticed there are quite a few, like on the doors, about the food triangle and things like that. Also, the daily menus are to be posted so that and in different areas. I think that's on time. We have menus on our website so that parents can take a look at what's being served those days, and they have it displayed in the cafeteria usually. Another objective for that is to educate parents and community on the ISD nutrition objectives. And actions to do that is information related to school nutrition will be available in the student handbook. Provide menus via multiple resources. So those we do. Another goal for nutrition in our wellness plan, the district shall deliver nutrition education that fosters the adoption and maintenance of healthy eating behaviors. One of the objectives is to promote good nutrition through staff education so that our dietary department staff attend staff development at regional service centers and workshops where they get a lot of that information on the nutrition that they're supposed to provide for the students. Objective number two for that is awareness of nutritional updates and changes. To do that, our food service director will address nutrition guidelines and updates with administration and department heads at staff meetings. And our last goal for nutrition and our wellness plan, I just thought we would kind of go over these because the school chooses basically these objectives for the wellness plan. The district shall make nutrition education a district-wide priority and shall integrate nutrition education into other areas of the curriculum as appropriate. And number one objective is to incorporate nutrition education where appropriate. And to do that, our actions are healthy eating behaviors will be addressed in curriculum throughout grade levels. Class examples such as nutrition and wellness, child development, healthy choice lesson plans, and good mental health programs that we do here at school. So any of the curriculum that offers the opportunity to incorporate healthy behaviors, healthy eating, physical activity, objective number two is promote the importance of healthy nutrition as it relates to physical activity. And the action to do that would be physical education and athletic classes to offer comprehensive education on the importance of good nutrition. And I think that going hand in hand with that would be, you know, reminding students of the importance of water to drink and those healthy behaviors. And the fact of how much carbs and more things for energy make a lot of important. So I will say that on the side, and this is one of the things that's kind of incorporated into the wellness plan at our school, is to have cooperation of making healthy habits for the staff members. And we have had a group that have had a weight challenge this year that we're still working on. Try to lose the most weight and pay a little bit of money, and there's a bonus at the end. So that's kind of been a good incentive for some of the employees. It's just an option. And on new business, of course, y'all noticed a little bit of snacks here. I'll start off with that. And we just thought it would be something fun because our talk today is on good nutrition for our employees, for our parents, and for our students. And ways that we can maybe promote good nutrition and encourage children to want to consider good nutrition. So, of course, Pinterest helped mention that. But and we made a few fun things that I thought might be fun, like if people are having their kids over, parties together, or whatever, but to help encourage kids to want things that are good nutritionally, that they're fun to do, besides just having candy bars. Be careful with the, if you just have one eat something, and the oranges are wonderful, they're very, very sweet. They have a little bit of lipstick to put their legs on because I couldn't get them to stay on. So keep that in mind if you're going to take one, if you don't get a piece of lipstick swallowed. We don't want that to happen. But, so we thought that would be fun. There's, if you go on Pinterest, by the way, there's multiple things that you can make out of fruits and vegetables that maybe will be great for birthday parties or even for cafeteria, you know, some things every now and then. But kids kind of go, oh, that's cool. I did, one time we had a bulletin board for the nurse's station, and we had some photos that we had put up there that had those on. You'd be surprised how many of the kids would stop and call me about those immediately.
Oh, both my kids. Yeah. Every time we pass, they'd look at it and say, you know, I want you to make that.
Well, that makes sense. That's good. That's good. So, they didn't notice. You know, so I thought we would do that. For nutrition promotion, I found there's some resources, good resources for the teachers too. Online, and one of the ones that I found was the overview basically says, how does your school promote good nutrition? And it says to have posters hanging on the walls that display healthy eating messages. You can even have like a monthly healthy bulletin board that you take note of. We're located in the elementary building, and a lot of the students will comment on that. Sometimes they recommended you can do communication about good nutrition through the morning announcements. And of course, we want the nutrition promotion to take place across the school, formally and informally, and inside and outside the classroom, the cafeteria, the hallways, and any school units. Hanging posters in the hallways, the classrooms, the offices to promote healthy eating. Says here, host a taste test. So that's kind of that for this day. So, sharing short nutrition and physical activity tips during the morning announcements, like I said. Also encourage students to visit the water fountain throughout the school day and carry water bottles in class. So I want to encourage them to say, oh, you need to have something to drink. But we want them to drink lots of water. You'd be amazed. I had several yesterday that ended up in the nursing station because it was a little bit warmer weather yesterday, and they got outside and got hot, and a couple of them had not had a drop of water. And when I asked them, they had to drink. Yes, I think. What do you drink? Nothing. You know, so we really need to encourage water. It's so very important. And so it kind of comes down to our speaker today. We want to be healthy role models. And children learn best when they receive information through multiple communication channels. And at a minimum, you want to promote nutrition in the classroom, in the cafeteria, and at home. So you hope they're doing all of that through education. And today, Angie McMillan is our guest speaker. And she... She did, for those that may not know, she works here at our school, in our high school, at the switchboard and runs the front office, basically. And we appreciate you being here and talking to us today. She's going to discuss the importance of, you know, health healthy choices, basically, and things that the importance of healthy nutrition and physical activity going hand in hand also. And so, and how that can influence kids and our students to make choices for themselves, for their future. And one of the notes when I was reading it, trying to get information about this, that hit me kind of strong is sometimes our actions speak louder than our words to help me out. And I think that's true for all of us. But I can see with the children, that's so true. You know, sometimes they look up to what, we may not realize it, but they look up to what choices we make and what we're doing sometimes. And so I kind of felt like that was a good headline for us to talk about.
Okay, so I'm gonna take one pass around. There's more information than I'm gonna go over today, so it's just kind of FYI stuff in there. You talked about the challenge that they did, the weight loss challenge, and you were talking about water, and then you were talking about how, you know, modeling for kids, and I don't think that we as adults drink enough water, you know, and they don't see us doing that. So it'd be really cool if y'all did a hydration challenge with the teachers, and that they could, you know, show that they are drinking water throughout the day. They've got some water bottles and stuff to help the kids do that. I don't know, do y'all allow the kids to come in and have with water bottles? Mm-hmm. Y'all do at elementary. I don't know that we do here at the high school. I don't know that we allow them to bring water bottles in.
So I know my fourth grader complains about not being able to drink water the majority of the day. Like, he's not allowed to have his water bottle.
They're not allowed to have them now. I'm not sure about the ruling on that.
No, I it probably has to say this cubby. I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't know if you can incorporate like water breaks or something like that. I don't know.
Who's the summer teacher?
Miss Phillips. And that might just be what he's saying.
Well, it would be cool if we could get the adults to do it too and model for, you know, for the kids. But so I'm Angie McMillan, and just a little bit about me. You're probably wondering like why I'm here. I have always been interested in nutrition and health, and as a young child, I wanted to be a physical therapist, and then that kind of moved into being an occupational therapist, and then I found speech pathology, which is what I ended up with. And I'm sorry, the braces are new, and I'm really struggling to talk, so very uncomfortable. I've worked in education for the past 24 years. I did stuff with special education, and so my whole life has been kind of devoted to helping people and advocating for people. And along the way, it's a, you know, a very stressful job working in special education and having a family with kids and trying to get them everywhere. You know, life just gets to be life. And in my late 30s and early 40s, I started having a lot of joint pain. And I spent probably 4 years going to all different kinds of doctors trying to figure it out. And the last doctor I went to was a neurologist, and he basically said, you have fibromyalgia, which I have been told is just kind of a, you know, that's, we don't know what to do with you, so let's give you some medicine. And I didn't want to do that. And so I left and just decided I was going to suffer with pain, you know, for the rest of my life. And it kind of would come and go and everything. And I used to run, so I couldn't do that anymore. And I found yoga. And so a friend that I'd worked with, we started meeting after school, and we were just kind of going around. And then I decided to go back and get my certification. I did that, and I taught yoga for 6 years in Houston. And then when we moved here, I opened up a studio and was able to do that. In fact, Augusta used to come to my classes. So I've got that experience of, you know, the exercise and all of that. But yoga is a whole lot more. When I signed up for the YTT, the teacher training, I thought I was going in to learn like the mechanics of yoga, like how to, the alignment and the proper way to hold the pose and stuff. But it really ended up being a course in like self-exploration, you know, like learning about me and then, you know, being able to take that information and turn it over into the classes. And so some of the things that we learned were ways to, you know, to cope. And we learned about breath work and how that can stimulate the vagus nerve to help, you know, stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the part of your, you've got the flight and flight, fight and flight, and then you've got the rest and digest. And so the parasympathetic nervous system is the one that is responsible for that rest and digest. And so often we operate in the fight or flight. And so trying to find some balance, there were a lot of things that I learned in yoga that would help bring balance to that system. And so as a result, when I was in Houston, one of the responsibilities that I had in my job was to coordinate the programs for students with emotional disturbance. And so we took a lot of those philosophies that I had learned in yoga and applied that to the programming for our emotionally disturbed students. In the process of doing that, teachers had to learn how to do that. And so we went through a course where we trained the teachers on mindfulness, some breath work. I don't really like to use the term meditation because I think people get the wrong connotation. There's a lot of different forms of meditation, but really it's just being able to find a place where you can sit in stillness and just kind of focus on your breath. And when what that does is when you're focusing just on your breath, it brings you to the present moment and it helps to kind of create some space to allow you to, you know, calm down, allow you to
process.
Well, yeah, to process so that you can respond intentionally and purposefully rather than to react and do something maybe that you'll regret later. And so that was one of the things that we taught our kids. And when you look at health and well-being, it is so much more than just diet and exercise. And so what I have on here is there's a program that I became aware of that I started following, and they talk about the macro habits of health, and there's six of them. And so on the front page, it goes through and lists those. I'm going to list them and I'll just describe them briefly. There's obviously healthy weight, healthy eating and hydration, healthy motion, so exercise and physical activity, sleep and energy management, a healthy mind, so your mindset, and then creating spaces around you, an environment around you, a community around you that promotes health. And so all of those things together combined work to create a healthy, you know, lifestyle. And when one is out of whack, it can impact all of the others. All right. So the first one is the healthy weight management. And basically that just means being able to get yourself to a healthy weight and maintain it, not the yo-yo up and down kind of stuff. But then incorporating the rest of these to help you maintain that. And I'm not going to go through a lot of this, the statistics, but there was maybe it was a month or so ago, maybe a little bit more than that. There was something called National Obesity Awareness Day. And so I got on their website and pulled off information about obesity. And the one thing I want to draw your attention to is on that first bullet, the little second indention, in 10 years, 400 million children, that's one in five, are going to be considered overweight or obese. And so I was recently in a training and we were looking at a side-by-side of the United States of where we are now and then where we're going to be. And it's really scary. It's an epidemic that we are, it's just getting worse, you know.
It's sad to say that there has to be a national awareness day for that.
Well, when I heard that, I was like, you've got to be kidding. Yeah. But there, I mean, they've got, it's an organization and they've done it for a couple of years now to just make people aware of the rate in which we are becoming obese. And I'm sure that you all know that, you know, with obesity comes a lot of chronic health conditions, heart conditions, diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, all of those things. And so it is important to try to get your weight to a point where you can maintain it. One of the other areas, but one of the other healthy habits is the eating and hydration. And we talked a little bit about that. One of the things that I've learned is, and there's some research out there that they've been doing for a number of years about A healthy eating lifestyle involves a reduction of calories, but an increase in the nutrients and the minerals and the probiotics and all of that stuff. So nutrient dense foods that are less caloric. And what they've shown in those research projects is that when you eat like that, you increase the longevity of your life. And then you're also reducing your risk for some of those chronic health issues. I listed some benefits of healthy hydration. So it, again, lowers your risk of heart attack by 41%, lowers your risk of colon cancer, bladder cancers. It helps to regulate your body. It helps to cushion your joints as you get older. You're going to want to make sure your joints feel good, so drink a lot of water. It helps to stabilize your heartbeat, aids in digestion, all that kind of stuff, all that good stuff. There's a lot of things that it does. It's great for your skin, and it helps with weight loss, helps with brain function. Healthy motion. So there's two different kinds of motion. There is exercise, which is planned, that is typically something you do for a short period of time, a couple of days a week. And then there's physical activity, which is just the movement that you do throughout the day. So thinking about ways that you can increase that movement, like stand up when you're on a telephone call or walk to the bathroom on the other side of the building. When you park at the grocery store, park at the back of the parking lot and walk, take the stairs. There was an interesting thing about the stairs. So when you climb one flight of stairs, it's equivalent to walking 100 steps. And so if you were to climb 10 flights of stairs, it would receive the same benefit as you would for walking a half a mile. So take the stairs when you can. So healthy motion, there's just a couple of different things that you can think of as far as the physical activity. So thinking about if you are at a job where you're sitting a lot, to kind of, you know, sit up straight, draw your stomach in and engage your core and lengthen through your spine. I feel like I'm in a yoga class right now. And just work on.
And then I've noticed in several of the elementary classrooms, you know, you'll hear the teacher, okay, everybody up, and we're gonna, if it's on ABCs or whatever, and they're moving with it.
Yeah.
And you know, to me, that's part of getting part of that done.
It is. And so one of the things they talk about is just getting up and down from your chair, you know, is gonna be, you're working your joints, you know. So standing, I kind of talked about that, but just trying to increase your stand time each day. If y'all have an Apple Watch, it'll monitor that and it'll tell you when it's time to stand up so that you get your stand minutes in that hour. Just kind of strolling around. So walking, not specifically a planned exercise program, but just as much as you can walk around your building and throughout the day, stairs. Samba, that's really just dancing, like turning on the music and just, you know, kind of moving a little bit. And then trying to do things that are like by hand. So washing your dishes by hand, sweeping and raking instead of using the blower, making your bed every morning, using a shaker jar. You know, just those are little things that you can do that are going to help keep the joints moving. I don't know, y'all used to make fun of my mom when I was younger, when I didn't know better, when she would struggle to open a jar. And I'm positive that they have made it even harder now. Because I cannot open a jar to get the grip and everything. So, you know, it's little things that you don't think about that are going to impact you as you get older, you know. All right. The healthy habit or healthy mind. One of the things that I used to talk to our teachers about is the fact that we spend so much time focused on exercising the muscles in our body that we forget to exercise our mind. And our mind is one of the strongest, most powerful muscles in our body. And so taking the time to really exercise it, and one of the ways that we can do that is through breath work. So if y'all will just kind of let me, I'm going to take you through a quick example of what that might look like. So I'd like for you to just sit straight in your chair, ground your feet onto the floor, ground into the seat of your chair, and have a, just lengthen through the spine. You don't have to be rigid or anything. Still relax the shoulders. And I want you to start to close your eyes. I'm going to take you through a breath sequence. All right. So we're going to breathe in through the nose for four counts. Go ahead and breathe in. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Breathe out slow. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Breathe in for four counts. 1, 2, 3, 4. And hold it. 2, 3, 4. Release. 2, 3, 4. And hold it. Breathe in. Hold. Release. Hold. And you can stop. She was trying not to laugh. Okay, that's one of the exercises. That's a breath work exercise that you can do that's going, it helps to calm down, and kids really enjoy that. They don't enjoy it when you try to get them to do it when they're in the middle of a crisis, all right? It doesn't work. You have to practice that. And so that's why they call yoga practice. That's why they call it breath work practice, so that you can get in the habit of doing it on a daily basis. So it's a tool. It's a tool that we as adults can use. It's a tool that students can be taught to use when they're frustrated, when they're angry, when it's chaotic. It gives them some space to stop and process. But you have to practice it, because when you're in the middle of a crisis, when you're in the middle of frustration or whatever, you're not going to pull on that tool to use. And so
I would like to.
Yeah.
So my sister-in-law is a social worker for an elementary school in Austin, and she uses some cards. They're called meditation cards, but the top one is actually a breathing exercise, very similar to what you just did. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of them are basically like stories that they close their eyes, they relax, mm-hmm. they imagine. It might even be called imagination cards, but then there's also like meditation and breathing involved with it.
Right.
But it helps a lot of her kids that, you know, need extra help. And she actually got it for Christmas for my fourth grader and kindergartner here. And I feel like it's helped them a lot, and we do it nightly now.
Yeah.
And especially my kindergartner, he was not good about being able to calm down with deep breaths. Mm-hmm. And since we've been practicing it nightly, he can actually do it now, like when he's upset.
Right.
So
that's perfect.
Kind of just that. Very, very similar to what you were just talking about.
So on the very last couple of pages, I did put something in here about mindfulness and meditation. And I listed, everything's front and back. I listed all of the benefits to mindfulness and meditation and breath work. And a lot of what we focused on when I was in working with students in school was when you do it, it helps increase your ability to stay focused and to in your attention to task. And so when you've got kids with ADHD that are, you know, all over the place, there's studies and research that shows that when they practice this on a regular basis, those kids were better able to focus and were better able to keep their attention on the task at hand, and you saw test scores rise. So it's very interesting, the things that the little things that you can do for kids to teach them how to do that, that's going to impact them positively in their personal life and at school. Let me back here. Another part of having a healthy mind is your mindset. One of the things that we did a lot of work on in my previous district was the growth mindset versus the fixed mindset. So just that idea that you are open to new things and that you are looking for things to move forward and to, you know, to grow basically, but having a positive outlook on where you are, cup half full rather than a cup half empty.
Gratitude is another great way to work the mind. So gratitude journal. We would do challenges in the yoga studio where each time somebody came in, they would write something on the wall about something that they were grateful for. And I think people get bogged down with, like, overwhelmed with the idea that it has to be something major, like my family. Well, of course you're grateful for your family, but like, I was grateful that my alarm went off this morning because our electricity went out last night. And you know, that it's little things like that, that when you stop and you really pay attention to those little things, it does make that, you're, makes you happy. I don't know. So, but the idea of writing those down, again, because I'm a speech pathologist, we do lots of research. Everything I do, I want like evidence. So there's a lot of research that talks about journaling and how that can positively.
As we get older, that becomes more important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The gratefulness.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. Okay. Healthy sleep. So when I talked earlier about the fact that I'd had all this joint pain, I was also, I just started a job where we were understaffed. And so I was doing two jobs, and there were some nights that I worked until 8 o'clock. I came home, continued writing reports all night long, got up and went to work again, like didn't sleep. And so I have a feeling now when I look back on things that a lot of my joint pain was the result of stress and not getting enough sleep. Mm-hmm. But sleep is so important. A lot of times people overlook how how much it impacts just your daily life, you know. There was something that I read that just losing 2 hours of sleep can make you feel like you've had a glass of wine. If you go to 3 and 4 hours of sleep less, then you shouldn't be operating any kind of like, you know, vehicle or machine or anything like that. It really impacts you that much. And so impacts your ability to learn, your memory. It can compromise your immune system. It can elevate your blood pressure, increases inflammation, all of those good things. So one thing to think about is that I didn't even, until I started learning about this stuff, I didn't really pay attention to my sleep habits. And so I have set an alarm that reminds me to go to bed every night. That doesn't mean I always do it, but it is a reminder because I get caught up. And so, I try to turn my phone off 30 minutes before I go to sleep and have the room as dark as possible. And then I would like to establish some routines in the morning, but I'm not going to lie. I roll out of bed and get ready and come to work. So I really admire those people that are early morning risers and they sit down and have a cup of coffee and read a book or something. That is not me. I can't do that. But it is helpful to try to have some type of a routine. Some people work out. Some people, you know, read whatever. And then finally, the surroundings, your environment. You know, that can look different for different people. But, you know, think about how you feel when you are like in an environment that is physically clean. It feels a whole lot better than when things are trashed out, you know. Surrounding yourself with people that are like-minded and are positive and lift you up. I mean, those are the things. That's all part of creating a healthy surrounding. So I don't know about y'all, but I want to be around people who are going to make me feel good and celebrate my victories and all that kind of stuff. So those are the components. I know we're running out of time, so I'm just going to leave you with a couple of things. I printed out this kind of survey, and it talks about some of the different areas of well-being. So physical, mental. And so later, just if you feel like it, go through and kind of rate yourself. I did mine, and when I did it, I was really surprised because I thought I was rocking life, and I wasn't. and you know, it changes from day to day too. My question to you guys, because this is a school-based committee, like when we're looking at these macro habits of health, what is it that y'all feel like we have control over here in the school setting and in the community that we can help students with?
I think whenever you were talking about yoga and how much that helps Well, if we're looking at obese children who have activity intolerance and they're going to barely participate in PE, would it be a good idea to incorporate that into, like, say, a week, you know,
yes.
one day a week?
I say yes.
Have someone come in and just, during their PE or something, mm-hmm. do yoga instead and learn ways to cope or to mm-hmm. calm down that could help them not only with physical activity but mental
right.
as well.
I think that would be great.
Yeah. Well, I think it'd be good for teachers too. You know, teachers get really stressed out.
And they can participate too.
And they can participate. Yeah, and then if you can get teachers buy in to some of this stuff, then they start to model it. And then the kids see that. And then hopefully the kids can pick it up. So, I mean, when I'm looking at this, I feel like, you know, we can help, like we have control over the eating and the hydration to a certain extent. We can make sure that kids get the fluids that they need and to teach them to hydrate themselves and the importance of that. The motion we can do, they're outside running, they go to PE, we can walk them through the campuses and so forth. Sleep, I don't know that we have a whole lot of control over that other than providing information to parents.
We from time to time see that as an issue with a lot of students.
Yeah.
You know, they're not controlled or in a situation where things are
right.
good,
structured,
that's a word I'm looking for. Structured, good at home with sleep patterns. You know,
right.
we've had kids that are up all night, mm-hmm. come to school, can't even stay awake, mm-hmm. and things like that. So that one's a struggle.
Yeah. Healthy mind, I think there's a lot of things that we can do on the backside of, you know, to teach kids and model like healthy mindset and things like that in the classroom. And then of course the surroundings, I think, you know, we create that in our classrooms and in the campuses and stuff. So.
So when you said, when you were talking about before that you did some teaching at one of the other schools as far as some of the teachers to teach them some of the strategies to use to help calm students that had behavior issues.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that became very effective?
Yes. So we did that with all of our behavior teachers, and they incorporated that into their class. And so we set their classroom up where they worked through rotations, and you had the four core of subjects. But then because they were in a behavior unit, we added a behavior section. And so every day they had to do some of these. They had to practice these mindful types of activities, and they had to look at, you know, big problem versus little problem, and how to self-regulate and work through these things. That was their lesson, and they did that every day in
did
order
you
to
see that they
mm-hmm.
enjoyed it. Did they get to where
they I don't know that it? They enjoyed it, but when so what we saw was over a course of 3 years from when we started implementing this, we had I can't remember the exact numbers, but we didn't have any kids that were out in gen ed. Everybody was self-contained. And you know, you put 10 kids that have horrible behavior in a classroom together, it's chaos. And so in a year, the teachers were able to get kids out. And so we created this continuum where we had the most significant kids that were still learning how to self-regulate. They were self-contained. But then we had kids that were going out for a period of time into gen ed classroom. And then we had kids that had gone through the whole thing and they were back out in gen ed. And so they were learning those coping skills to help get them out, because before that, we didn't have any behavior kids out in the general ed setting. So it was very effective. I have the number somewhere. I've slept since then. It's been a while.
Where did you work before? I'm just interested.
When I did that, I was in Spring Branch. But prior to that, I was in Dayton. Yeah. Spring Branch was an eye-opener.
Have you been able to talk to all the teachers about it? Like here, you obviously have some influence of the high school teachers if you're doing the weight loss thing, but I mean, maybe middle school or elementary, because I feel like children are heavily influenced by their teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can model this behavior, because right now if they're exhibiting like stress or yelling and, you know, they're not modeling this behavior, then if you can influence these teachers to model this, then they can influence these children to model this. You know?
I have not had the opportunity to talk with any of the teachers. You know, I'm here, so I see them, and a lot of the teachers that are here, we come to yoga, and so we talked about, you know, we did it there, and we talked about it there. I mean, I would love the opportunity to be able to do that, you know, if it was made available or whatever, you know.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I may get you to come to the hospital. We preach health, but we don't model it for sure. Everybody has an energy drink. I mean, it's just, I think we all run on fumes. So.
Well, so
teachers are running on fumes. It's May.
Yeah. They run on fumes all the time anyway. Yes. So.
Well, that's why I thought it would be such a good introduction, you know, because I've heard through grapevines a little bit of what, you know, how it affected your life and how, what you do to try to help promote that.
Yeah.
So that's why I had talked to Angie about coming. I thought it was some really good information that it might help everybody do better, want to do better, want to model for the kids to, you know, so that they're better.
Well, I appreciate that. I found something that works for me. And so it's one of those things, like, I would be upset if somebody held back something that they knew worked and didn't tell me, you know? So I could sit here and talk to y'all forever about it. I mean, it's something that I'm very passionate about. And I want as many people to be as healthy as they can be and live their best life.
I think, like, one of the things she mentioned a while ago, I think it would be kind of neat, maybe not to, I mean, I don't know if that would be into curriculum of physical activity or not PE, but just to introduce kids to yoga or to something, you know, that, like you said, it's a full mind body experience. It's not just the physical part of it. Mm-hmm. Just introducing them to that to see what they feel like, you know, what they think about it.
Yeah.
It would be interesting.
Yeah. Well, I know you've got some teachers on your campus that have done some stuff in the classrooms.
I know, but I think we all need it.
I feel that little breathing exercise did be so good a while ago. I really did.
It's amazing. Sometimes you feel silly doing it, you know, but I mean, and that was just, that's called box breathing. So it's up, over, down, you know, so, and you can do different.
And to me, that would be very cool for the kids just to go through those, just breathing exercises, you know, just kind of eventually it would teach them how to calm down.
Yeah.
You know, if they got used to doing it. So it'd be kind of a neat thing, you know, at the beginning of PE class or beginning of whatever class, let's do this. Get them to do it just for a few minutes and then keep that in other classes, you know.
I've actually done it a little bit whenever I'm subbing at the middle school.
Oh yeah, how did the kids respond?
Good. Oh my goodness, they actually calmed down. Like,
you know, they need structure.
Yeah,
they really want it.
But so. it was funny because I saw one of those middle schoolers at my son's baseball game, and then he's like, oh hey, it's a meditation lady.
Wow. Well, that was some really good information.
Thank you. Well, if y'all have any questions, I'm always available.
We might have to go to her and say, could you do the
breathing walk me through the breathing
walk.
I'm
all for real. Well, thank you so much for helping us and talking to us.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it'll come out with you. Help us all want to be a little bit better with our health. I know it does me. It makes me think about it more. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And like I said, y'all are welcome. There's some more plates if y'all want to take a snack. The bananas have been cut a little while, so they look at you, but they're still good. So y'all want some toothpicks and the crab claws. But y'all welcome. And like I said, it'll be next school year before we have another SHAC meeting. If anybody has any other ideas that they can think of that would be good to bring to SHAC, please let me know. Just shoot me a text or email because it's always kind of hard to find topics to have people come and talk about school health. And we would love any information about that if you know or think of anybody, a speaker or anybody that might come like Angie and promote good health, let me know, please, so I can line those up. All right. Anybody have anything else to say or questions? Okay. We'll call this meeting adjourned.